and welcome to our Little Swatara live stream of our Easter Sunday services. We're so glad you're joining us from your living room, your dining room, wherever you may be this morning. We are blessed that Jesus has risen. We celebrate the resurrection today, and we continue to pray God's blessings to you during this very unusual time. But we do thank God for each of you and pray his blessings upon you. And we have a few other hellos that we'd like to share with you this morning.
He is alive. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Looking forward to seeing you all again in person.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter, little Swatara. We miss you.
Wishing everyone a joyous Easter.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Happy Easter, everyone. Love you.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter from the Christ family. We miss you all and love you. Stay safe and stay healthy. Love you.
Hello, church family. Hope you're all doing great. I miss you all. Happy Easter.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Happy Easter.
Good morning, church family. We miss you all. We hope you're having a great Easter day. We can't wait to see you and hug you in person. It's great to be home in Pennsylvania, but we would love to be at church with you today. May you have a blessed Easter day today.
We miss you all. Happy Easter. Love yous.
Happy Easter from the Bryants.
Happy Easter from Lidditz, little Swatara.
Happy Easter. He is alive. Happy Easter.
Happy.
I invite you to join us in this morning's call to worship. Out of the darkness of grief and despair comes a message of hope. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We run to the tomb to see for ourselves. And it is true. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We hear a voice call our name, and we know our risen Lord is with us now and always. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Salvation has come. Let us believe.
Thank you.
One of the most incredible opportunities we have as believers in Christ is to pray and to be able to lift each other up. And this morning, we think of those that have lost loved ones and gather alone this Easter Sunday, not having the opportunity to gather with extended family. We think of families that have lost loved ones recently and extend our sympathies to John and Diana Kintzer on the passing of John's mother. And we lift up others now that are struggling with various illnesses. We lift up those that are recovering from surgeries of past, and we lift up those that are watching this morning, perhaps for one of the few times you watch during the year, and you know Jesus, you believe in Jesus, and we just pray continued growth for each of us as we search for him and we can know him and we can trust that he'll see us through this pandemic. So would you please pray with me? Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in our homes to celebrate the risen Savior. Lord, we know that last evening was a dark night, and there was uncertainty, and there was a stillness and a silence. But this morning, as we awoke and that woman went to the tomb, we know that the tomb was empty, and we celebrate that fact this morning. We know that you are risen. We know that our salvation is at hand, that death has been conquered. But Lord, we pray now during this uncertain time, you would continue to shine hope. You would continue to release this illness from those that are suffering. We pray for those that have lost loved ones through this and ask for your encouragement for those continuing to remain at home and pray for your protection over those that are heading out to work. We especially pray for those on the front lines this morning. We think of Karen and Savannah this morning and any others, Lord, that come to our mind that are serving on the front lines, and just ask your protection upon them. And Lord, we know it's Easter. We'll be gathering for a meal with our families, and we just want to remember the real meaning of what Easter's about. So thank you, Jesus, for conquering the grave. Thank you for rising again and giving us this new life, this new hope that we can shine into this darkened world. We thank you, Father, for loving us. We thank you most of all for forgiveness as you went to the cross on Good Friday and you paid the price for our sins. So thank you, Lord, that we can be free. But Lord, we must choose, we must decide, and we must say, yes, Lord, be in control of my life, and we surrender to you, Lord. So wherever we are this morning, we pray that you would be with us. You know the anxiety we continue to feel, the stress that we're enduring, the uncertainty if we'll have enough income, Lord, to pay our future bills. But Lord, we just hand it all to you. And we say, Lord, here is the stress we're feeling. And we're asking you to replace it with the joy that you have. For we know that your salvation is more important to us than anything that we could possibly have on this earth. So Lord, continue to let us love. Continue to let us come to you and know that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort that you give us. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Offertory thought this morning. We know we're not gathered together for worship, but we want to continue to allow you that opportunity to worship him through your offering this morning, realizing what the Lord has done for us, the greatest gift that he has given us, the forgiveness of sin. And so this morning we invite you to share your offering with your church, and you can mail that to our church mailing address you'll find in your directories. And we thank you for your offering. And would you pray with me? Lord, you are the greatest offering that has ever been given to us. We recognize our salvation. We recognize the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we want to worship you in every possible aspect we can. So Lord, we come to you this morning and we offer ourselves first and foremost. And out of that love for you, that joy we have for you, we cheerfully give. So thank you, Lord, for each giver this morning, and bless them in mighty and wonderful ways. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know that Easter looks a little bit different this year, but hopefully you still were able to do some of your traditions, maybe an Easter egg hunt. I know this is Stanley's first Easter, and we're so excited to make some traditions of our own with him. Hey, buddy. Yeah. But I know we're not all in church together. Just keep in mind that we're all together in spirit, and we're here praising the Lord, and that's all that matters. Hey, buddy. So Stanley and I have a basket full of Easter eggs this morning. And even though he's not old enough yet to hunt them out in the backyard, he loves to pick them up and loves to put them in his mouth. So he thought he could help us out with them. We're going to inspect some of the colors of the Easter eggs. Stanley, let's take a look at those colors in there, buddy. Look at all those colors. Let's show everyone all the colors. Can we show them? We got lots of colors in there. We have yellow, we have orange, we have blue, green, and what's the last one? It's pink. So we have those five colors. And then another important color is the color of our basket, which is purple, right? So God was so creative when he created colors, wasn't he? They are so beautiful to look at. And did you know that the color of our Easter eggs can tell us some things about Jesus? So that's exactly what we're going to do. You ready? So we're going to first start off with the color of our basket, which is purple. So the color purple stands for royalty. it helps us remember that Jesus is the King of Kings. And just like in the Bible in the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God, which means Jesus was there in heaven, ruling over all of us from the very beginning. So he was there for us from the very, very beginning. So purple stands for royalty, that Jesus is King of Kings. All right, so let's go ahead and have Stanley pick out another color egg, and we'll talk about what they mean. So what color should we go with next, Betty? Which color should we go with next? What do you think? Which one? Which one? He's going for the blue one. Let's talk about blue. Hold it? Now mommy's gonna hold it. Let's talk about blue. Blue Easter eggs make me think of the sky and the air all around us. So when we think about the air and the wind, we can't see it, but we can feel it, right? We can see the trees swaying. We feel the breeze blowing in our hair. That's sort of like Jesus, because we can't see him, but we know that he's there. He's here for us. So blue reminds us of the sky and the air, which means that we're talking about Jesus as the Holy Spirit, and that he's always with us. Okay, let's do another color. What other color should we do next? Oh, what do you think? Yeah, I think that's a good one. He said green, right? We're gonna talk about green. So green is the color of grass, trees, and lots of other things that grow. And it reminds us that the new life that Jesus gives us when we trust in him as our Lord and Savior. It also reminds us that we can grow learning more about him through reading our Bible and praying and obeying and worshiping him. Let's pick out another one, buddy. What do you think? Which one? Ooh, he looks like he's eyeing up the pink one. You want to do pink? Pink makes me think of love. It makes me think of love. So pink represents God's love for us. And did you know that we can make the color pink with white and red? And red also reminds us of Jesus' blood that he shed for us on the cross. Yeah. Let's go ahead and pick out one more. Ooh, orange. Orange. Do you want to hold it? Orange is the color of some dirt and clay. It helps us remember that Jesus came to earth as fully man. He left heaven and he came to earth here as man. So he understands what we're going through, but he did never sin. So orange represents the fact that he came to earth fully as a man. And we have one more color left, and that is the color yellow. And yellow is like the sunshine. It reminds me of heaven, which is full of light and warmth because God is there. God is there in heaven. And God promises us that if we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we will be in heaven with him one day. So those are all of our egg colors that we have that represent Jesus. Where's our other one, buddy? There we go. So remember, purple means royalty, that Jesus is the King of Kings. And orange means that Jesus was fully man and that he understands he was here on earth. And pink is God's love for us, and also the blood that was shed on the cross. And green is the meaning that Jesus brings us new life, right? Eternal life. And blue means that Jesus is always here with us through Holy Spirit. And lastly, the color yellow means that Jesus is preparing a home for us in heaven. Right, Stanley? That's the best part of all, is he has a home for us in heaven. Right, let's go ahead and pray together. Can we pray? Dear Lord, we know that Easter morning may look different this year, but one thing that has not changed is the reason we celebrate Easter. We thank you for sending your son Jesus so that we can be forgiven and rescued from sin and hopelessness. Amen. Oh, thank you. I love you. Happy Easter, everyone.
Okay, people, quiet on the set. We're already 1 week behind schedule. I need you lined up on this side of the road. I need you lined up on that side of the road. Get those clocks ready and wave those palm branches. Donkey, I need you in the middle. Stay right there. Jesus, go ahead, get on up. And cue donkey, cue crowd. Cloaks and palm branches ready. Jesus, you good? Now lights, camera, action. I said action. Cut. Donkey. Donkey, listen up. You gotta move. Come on, crowd. You gotta get more excited than that. Wave those palm branches like you mean it. Spread them on the ground with those cloaks. Jesus, what's up, bro? You said you were good. Why are you weeping? You got allergies? You need a hanky? Wait, what? I can't hear you. You're saying the crowds don't get it. The city doesn't understand. What do you mean they don't understand? They said they wanted a king. You're not the king they wanted. You came to bring salvation, to save them from their sins. Jesus, I don't know what to say. You mean you're telling us everything you've ever done was for us? And all you want for us is to follow? To say, yes, Lord? You mean that's why you came? To die for our sins on the cross? That's why you rose from the grave? So we could be with you forever? But how can we ever thank you, Jesus? Okay. Okay, you want us to continue the scenes until we get to the tomb. All right? You heard the man. He's the starring role. Now, Rocks. Rocks, I need you to stay quiet. People, you have got to sing. Pharisees, stand by. And lights, camera, action. Bravo. Bravo. That's how it's done. Great job, everyone. Get the donkey a carrot. Give the people and Jesus some water. Whoa, hold on. On second thought, never mind. Never mind. We did that whole water thing one time, and I really need everyone in their right mind right now. Okay, let's go on to our next scene. This one's my favorite. Please, let's not screw this one up. We're in the temple courts. I wonder how many tables Jesus is going to break this time. Okay, money changers, I need you here. Pharisees, teachers of the law, over there. Jesus, I really need to see that righteous anger. And lights, camera, action. Bravo, again. One take, that was brilliant. Jesus, you took my breath away. That anger, wow, that provoked quite the stir. But I get it. I get it. This is a house of prayer. And they were turning it into a den of robbers. Now, friends, there were many more scenes that took place this past Holy Sunday. But what happened today surpasses them all. Remember, this is real life. There's no acting. These are actual historic events. These were eyewitness, firsthand accounts. You can't make this stuff up. Friends, the tomb was empty. No matter how many times you look in the tomb, Jesus is not there. He is risen, friends. He is in the tomb no longer. You see, death could not keep him. He's proven. Now, two of the most common aspects of film are a cut and a fade. In a cut, one scene is suddenly replaced with another. In a fade, one scene fades out to black and is then slowly replaced with another that fades back up from the black. For the disciples of Jesus, the crucifixion was a cut. Suddenly, and with great force, Jesus is taken, he's tried, and he's executed. Everything they had put their trust into was suddenly yanked away from them. In the emotion, in the turmoil of the moment, they're not thinking about the very fact Jesus said all this must happen. He point blank told them that he would die, but then he would rise. But can we imagine their anxious, their fearful, their grief stricken? Not to mention hopeless and alone. That Sabbath must have been the most difficult they had ever experienced. Sunday morning dawns. The light of day slowly replaces the dark of night. And that same slow fade moves in on one of the disciples. As the light of the fact of the resurrection takes place, it's not all happening at once, but slowly they knew Jesus was alive. And then suddenly the amazing reality sets in and their joy replaces their mourning. Just like now, our mourning, our anxiety and stress over this pandemic will one day turn to rejoicing. I don't know what that looked like. I don't know when that'll happen. But slowly, one day at a time, the reality will dawn on us. So let's take a closer look. Mary and the women are filled with grief. They couldn't stand before the Roman governor, but they could stand with Jesus. And they stood at the cross, fully devoted to him. In fact, they were the first to know of his resurrection. So what we can grasp is this. The stone was rolled away so others could get in, not so Jesus could get out. The angels questioned the women, "Why are you searching for the living among the dead?" Then they're instructed to go quickly and tell the disciples. So they run back. They report what they see. And the book of Luke says that Peter and the boys thought they were out of their minds with grief and telling tales. Could you even imagine? But then something sparked in their minds, and they went running to see what had happened. It's like when my mom would yell, "Hey boys, supper's ready." So Peter and John are filled with curiosity. We can see the race happening now. And I love how John points out that in a foot race to the tomb, he won. But what were they thinking? We're pretty sure it probably wasn't about the resurrection. Perhaps they were thinking someone must have stole the body. But apparently, the way that those grave cloths were situated meant something to Peter and John's belief. But friends, belief in what? Some suggest the layering of the spices and the aloes and the strips of the linen would have formed some sort of cast that kept the same shape if a body would have resurrected through it. So imagine with me for a moment looking into that tomb, and before you is this Jesus-shaped cloth, but there's no body. So friends, now we go from simply realizing that Jesus isn't there to realizing this is no ordinary empty tomb. You see, Jesus is not the victim of grave tomb robbery or dead body moving specialists. Something else very special happened in that tomb. So now Mary is filled with longing. We could wonder why she didn't recognize the angels. Perhaps she was crying too much. This is a woman whose sole focus is on finding her Lord. How about us this morning? Are we on that much of an epic race, an epic search to find our Lord? You see, they want to know why she was crying. Normally, people cry at gravesides. But in reality, this was to be a time of great joy. Jesus had risen, but friends, she doesn't quite get it yet. In her eyes, the grief of losing Jesus has been compounded by not being able to say goodbye and mourn over his body. It's happening around the world as we speak. Feelings left unaccounted for because of this distance. So she probably turned, realizing he wasn't there, and sees a man whom she confuses as the gardener. Jesus asks her the same question, but adds, "Whom are you seeking?" He even gives her the formal greeting of woman and acts like a stranger. So what's happening is that Jesus, in his resurrected body, is not immediately recognizable until he wants to be. And in this case, it happens when he speaks. Many times we hear that voice and we know who it is. Abby must be home. You see, that's the kind of relationship Jesus wants with us. So on the road to Emmaus, it's when he breaks bread. It dawns on Mary that not only is the tomb empty, something very special happened. That man who they thought was dead was not dead at all. He says to her, "Don't cling to me." Now, this could mean several things. Perhaps she's physically holding on to him like we will when we see each other again in church one day. Having lost him once, she's not going to lose him again. But in reality, Jesus must leave again to send us the promise of the Holy Spirit. So Mary just can't keep Jesus to herself. But Mary becomes the first person to see the risen Lord. Friends, joy overcomes grief as this risen man recognizes her. So this morning, we ask ourselves, how does the resurrection find you? Like these present times, are we fearful, doubting, curious when it's going to end? You see, the truth of Jesus' resurrection slowly dawns on various people. They've never seen anything like this before. There's a level of shock. No one came back from death unless Jesus raised them. So that same reality comes to us slowly. If Jesus were to suddenly appear in all his glory, how would we react? I know I would be in awe. I would be a bit filled with fear, but slowly it would all make sense. He said that it would happen. He's coming again. So this Easter Sunday, we ask ourselves, has the reality of the risen Jesus begun to sink in? Friends, let's be like Peter and John and run to that tomb today to discover the truth for ourselves. and know that no matter how many times we look, He will not be there. He is risen indeed. So what does that mean to those who already believe? Do we see only parts of the story? Do we stop at the cross and think, great, wonderful, my sins are paid for in full? Or do we come to that empty tomb this morning, and have we had our own personal encounter with Jesus? And we realize the full impact of what peace with God truly looks like. You see, Jesus is not only saving us, but He is sending us. So whatever we keep looking for, we find it in the risen Savior. So friends, even now, let the reality of the power of the risen Jesus begin to fade into your lives. This very day, may we bow down before Him and say as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God, do with me what you will. I am weak and doubting and a sinner, but I am yours." So here it is, friends, an Easter unlike any other. And we too can rise with Christ. The question becomes, what do we need to rise from? In other words, what holds us in our own living tomb? Friends, know this, believe this, trust this, take this with you wherever you go. Whatever it is that keeps you down from rising with Christ, Jesus has already conquered it. And He's replaced it with Himself. No longer do we need to feel held down. We can rise. We can celebrate the risen Savior. This we know. And this I ask you to join in with me as a prayer wherever you are this morning. Repeat after me if you would. Lord Jesus, I need you now. You know what I am feeling. You know where I long to be. I pray for peace in my soul. I pray for forgiveness. I ask you to lead me, to live within my heart, and to guide me to life everlasting. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, and be blessed this Easter Sunday and always.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Guide us, O Lord and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.